but God. Someone say, but God. Just like Paul, God stepped into my story and he changed the course of my direction.
Welcome from sunny South Africa. The following message is from Hillsong Church, South Africa. We pray that this message will truly bless and encourage you.
Oh my goodness. How you doing today? Come on, are you in love with Jesus? Has he changed your life? Has he set you free? Jesus! Father, at the outset of today, we just want to honor you because we know that without you, we can do nothing. In our own strength, in our own abilities, it's all nothing without you. But when we commit our lives to you and when we put our lives in your hand, we are saying that we trust you with every moment of our lives. And Father, right now, I thank you for every woman and every mother and every daughter and every sister that is represented, every auntie, every cousin that is represented in this house today. I pray that she would leave here changed. God, I pray that the words that you speak through the Word of God, you are the living Word, and your Word brings power. And so I pray that your word would not just be information in our ears, but it would bring transformation to our lives. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we commit these next few moments to you in Jesus' name. And all God's girls said, amen and amen and amen. Come on. Thank you again, Pastor Lucinda and Pastor Phil. Yes, they have trained us up in the ways of the Lord, and we have not departed from it. But honestly, I just want to honor you because we went into the prison, you know, just this week. And 10 plus years ago, when we all came here, none of it was looking like this, Lucinda. And to see what God has done 10 years on is nothing short of a miracle. The girlfriend sitting next to you, can you just look at her for a moment? She is nothing short of a miracle. And so, Pastor Lucinda, thank you so much for your faithfulness, your willingness, your commitment to seeing the sisterhood move forward, grow in strength, in life, in hope for all of Africa. And it's gonna impact the nations. In Jesus' name. Hey, listen, I was flying. Obviously, I fly. Not literally flying, but I was on an airplane flying here from England. And as I was coming into the beautiful Cape, I mean, of Good Hope, right? I was looking at the mountains and I was thinking, hope, you want to bring hope to this land. This is no longer a dry and weary land. This is a land of the living. This is a land of hope. This is a land of restoration. And as I was sort of making my way in, I was kind of like pushing the guy aside, you know, he was kind of hogging the window. I'm like, excuse me, can I see too? And as I was flying in, I really felt like God was wanting to speak something new over his daughters. And the word he gave me was rejoice. Rejoice, O daughters. Rejoice over your situation. Rejoice over your circumstance. You know that the joy of the Lord is actually your strength. When you find joy in a season where it doesn't look like anything is going well at all, when you can find joy in that season, I am telling you right now, it will be your greatest strength. Your joy will be your greatest strength. And so, I remembered a song. It came to me really quickly. I remembered a song, and it kind of went a little something like this.
Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa.
Come on, sing. Hey, hey.
Jabulani, Jabulani, Africa.
Come on, sing for joy.
Sing for joy, oh, Africa. The Lord your God has risen upon you. Africa.
Come on, you rejoice, sing for joy.
Sing for joy, oh Africa.
Hey,
the Lord your God has risen upon you. Sing for joy, oh Africa. The Lord your God has risen upon you now.
Hey, rejoice, rejoice, Shabalani Africa. Rejoice, Jesus. Come on. Rejoice, O daughters of Africa. Rejoice, rejoice. God bless you. The band, you are sounding very, very good today. Come on, why don't we give the worship team, you want to take your seats and give the girlfriend next to you a little pinch on the bum or something really interesting. I'm sure she'll appreciate that. So, as I was thinking about this whole concept of rejoicing over our situation and our circumstances, I was thinking about a man named Paul in the Bible. And Paul, his name wasn't always Paul. His name actually was Saul. And he went around and he was persecuting Christians and doing whatever he could to sort of eliminate people that were followers of Jesus. And on his way to do, give out more persecution towards believers in Jesus, he was stopped in his tracks. And it was a road called Damascus, and he was stopped. The Lord just sort of blinded him in his tracks. Have you ever been stopped in your tracks when you were headed down a road that was not leading to life? He stopped him in his tracks and sort of changed his whole being. And he sort of made him into something new. So the very thing that he was using to persecute Christians, God said, I want you to go back to those same streets and I want you to tell people about the good news of who I am. And I believe that that is what God is wanting us to do as daughters of the Most High God. He doesn't just want us to stay stuck in a rut, because there's two paths in this life. The Bible says that you either choose life or you choose death. You choose blessing or you choose cursing, but the choice is yours. You choose today. You choose today who you will serve. And when we read here in Romans 8:28, Paul's sort of doing his new thing, finding his new hope in Jesus, and he's going into these streets telling about the good news at all costs. He's been imprisoned, he's been whipped, he's been beaten, and he writes these words in Romans 8:28. He says, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Do you love him today? Do you love him? Do you feel called according to his purposes? His purpose is to love the unlovable. His purpose is to forgive the unforgivable. His purpose is for us is to be able to bring reconciliation to a lost and broken world. You know, sometimes it's difficult to see the good in the bad. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so difficult. You know, at the moment, even as I'm speaking, my brother, he's being sentenced in America to face years in prison. I don't know. I'm praying for mercy over judgment, and I'm praying for his life and his soul and his salvation. And sometimes in the natural, things don't look good. But Paul writes this because in his natural, things were not looking good. He was in big trouble. And he writes that all things work together for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And I don't know what you're facing today, and I don't know where you are or where you've been, but God wants to work every single thing out for its good. He wants to work it out for its good. He won't leave you stuck in a rut. You see, 36 years ago, I was born into East Los Angeles. I didn't always live with the Queen in England, even though the tea is nice, and she does give us the royal wave. Simone, just give me a royal wave. Yes, beautiful. She'd be very proud right now. I didn't always live in England, and I didn't live in Africa my whole life, even though it is pretty amazing here, can I just say? I love Africa. sing for Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go into that again. I want to. I really do want to. I could just dance and sing the whole time. But listen, 36 years ago, I was born into a life where I didn't see hope. I didn't see any good. You see, my family, they were all a part of the gang life in East Los Angeles, California. And my grandmother started one of the largest gangs, Mexican gangs in Los Angeles. And when I was in my mother's womb, my mother, she contemplated whether or not she wanted to keep me or abort me, because the moment she found out I was a girl, she was so scared as to what would happen to my life, because she did not want me to end up in the gang. She didn't want me to end up, you know, just on drugs and prostituting myself, just like all of my aunties and my cousins have done. So she was so scared, and she was in prison. My mom got put in prison because she, you know, she got in such a bad fight with someone on the streets from an ex-gang, from a rival gang. And somehow God rescued her in those moments, because on her way to abort me, she got in this fight and then she got put in jail. And she couldn't. And I'm here today. God has such a great way of working things out. And when she came out of those prison walls, she knew that she needed to change her life. And there was some really cool people on the street corners preaching about the good news of Jesus. You know those street preachers? Have you ever just wanted to do that again? Bring it back, I say. Go onto the streets and tell people about the love of Jesus. Stand on a bus corner, stand on something, and just tell people about the love of Jesus. I love it. Well, those people, they were telling my mom about the love of Jesus on the street corners of LA. And my mom knelt down on the corner of East LA and she gave her life to the living Savior, Jesus Christ. And her life looked very different to when she first walked into those prison walls. And so when she came out, all she wanted to do was give us a better life. But she was still caught up in the gangs. You know, once you're in a gang, it is hard to break free. You know, there is a hardness that gets attached to your life. And so as I was 3 years old, my mom and my real dad, their relationship was sort of toxic. It ended up becoming this toxic relationship where my father was addicted to alcohol, and all my mother wanted to do was live a better life, but the alcohol was calling him, and he would beat her and he would, you know, rape her and everything you can imagine he would do to her. And she had enough. And she said, either you go or I'm going. So my father left when I was the age of 3, and he never came back. And as a little girl, that does something to you. That affects your identity. That affects who you think you are in this life. It plays a vital role to your future. And so I lived so confused and wondering, why did Daddy leave? Am I not good enough? Am I not pretty enough? Doesn't he love me? And so at the age of 3, you shouldn't really have to think about that, should you? You shouldn't have to think about whether or not you're loved or not. And so as I grew up, kept, you know, going through my years in life, my mom, she got into a church that reached out to ex-gang members, and that was interesting in itself. You know what I'm saying? One minute my mom's beating people up on the streets, the next minute she's lifting the hands up and praising Jesus and kumbaya, my Lord. And I'm thinking, what is happening in here? They all look still like gangsters. And I would come out of Sunday school sometimes and I would see my mom fighting in the back of the church. And I'm thinking, this is church. Honestly, you guys have it so good here. Telling you, that wouldn't happen here, would it, Lucinda? Absolutely not. And so I had a very distorted view even of church. And so when I was 6 years old, my mom ended up remarrying an ex-gang member, and he was doing so well. And my mom, they were doing so well together. And you know, sometimes when two broken people come together and try and fix each other, sometimes it just doesn't work, does it? Only God can fix the broken. And so in their brokenness, my stepdad, he ended up going back into drugs. I would walk in on him shooting up heroin and watching pornography and coming and going with different prostitutes in our house. And I was the age of 9, and I can never erase this from my memory. But he did something to me that was just unimaginable. He took something away from me. And he, at the age of 9, sexually abused me. And I thought again, what did I do to deserve this? I gave a man another chance. And I felt broken. And I felt lied to. And I felt unworthy and gross and all of those things at the age of 9. It shouldn't have to be like that. And so as I grew up, I kept that a secret, you know, because that's what happens, isn't it? It's such a lie and a strategy of the enemy where the secrets, they eat you up and you never live a free life. And I never lived a free life. And so as time went on, I tried to get through it, and my mom, she became so aggressive in her approach to us. I never heard the words, I love you. She never, you know, sort of laid me on her lap and stroked my hair and told me that she loved me. And so I thought, am I even loved? Is there even any room for me here on this planet? What am I doing here? And my mom used to beat us, you know, day in and day out. I remember coming to school with black eyes and bruises all over my body. She would whip us with extension cords in the shower. And I just remember, what did I do again to deserve this? What did I do? And in those moments of feeling so weak and so vulnerable, I was at the age of 12 years old, and I was very close to taking my life. But God. Someone say, but God. Just like Paul, God stepped into my story and he changed the course of my direction. And it was just a miracle, because my youth pastors, they were in my life, but they knew that something was wrong. And in the moments of me wanting to take my life, literally in the moments, they felt God whisper to them in those same moments and say, why don't you call Chantel and find out how she's doing? So they called my home and they said to my mom, is Chantel okay? We just felt like we needed to pray for her or something. Can we come see her? My mom said, yeah, she's fine. She's in her room. So when they came over, I was in my room all right, but the door was locked because I had a knife there and I was very close to ending my life. And my youth pastors were banging on the door, and I didn't know what else to do. And literally my youth pastor, he's a big guy. He just kicked the door in and he grabbed the knife away from me, and he stopped the moment where I have regretted for the rest of my life. He came in and he helped me and he loved me and he showed me the love of a father. And he said, no, there's a better way. And when God steps in to our story, he places people around us. You may not realize it, but the girlfriend and the people around you, they're actually there, sent by God to help you on your journey. But God, he steps into our story and he changes the direction of our life. And now years later, I lived with these people. They took me into their home and they said, we want to help her. So from the age of 13 to 18 years old, they took me in and they raised me and they took a risk on me. And I was messed up. I was watching Jerry Springer all the time. You know, the Jerry, all drama shows. And like, my life was drama. I had so many issues. But those people, they stepped into my story. They got in the fire with me. And they may have got burnt a few times, but man, they got in the fire with me. When was the last time that you got in the fire with someone? When was the last time that you stepped into someone's life and you said, hey, don't do it. Come with me. Come. Just, that's what God does with us. He's like, come. Hey, stop. Come away with me. I want to show you a different way. And that's what God did. And these people, they helped me get to Sydney, Australia. And this is where I saw Pastors Phil and Lucinda Dooley. And Lucinda is just rocking it even in Australia. Like, she's just the bomb everywhere she goes. And I'm like, who are these cool youth pastors? They're just like incredible. And that's where I sort of just God took me away, come away with him to find healing and find hope in Jesus. And I never would have imagined that I would have lived in Sydney, Australia. And that wasn't the end for me. I met an Englishman named John Norman. It was so funny because he was outrageous and he was wearing green and yellow all the time because that was the colors of his football team. And I'm like, those are horrible colors, but I think I kind of like you. And you know, our lives together have been so awesome. And God has even shown me a deeper love and wholeness that I could be made whole even in my relationship with my husband. And God has blessed me with two beautiful children. And as they come up on the screen, I mean, honestly, what God can do when he steps into our story, he changes the course of our lives and he gives us a fresh start and a new beginning. Today is not a sad story of Chantel Norman's life. Today is a story of overcoming. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives inside of you. It lives inside of me. It gives us strength. It gives us courage to keep going, to fight the good fight of faith, because God is working it all for the good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. In Jesus' name. So 18 years on the journey, I know I don't look that old. Still in my 20s. I'm not really. I'm in my 50s. And now I look good, don't I? 18 years on, man, I have been on this crazy adventure with God. Like a roller coaster of working things out for the good. And you know what he challenged me to do? He challenged me to love. He challenged me to forgive. And he challenged me to reconcile. What does that even look like? So, do you know that love never fails? Do you actually believe that love never fails? Because it will change how you approach people. It will change how you approach God. When you understand that love never fails, in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Someone say it. Love never fails. Say it again. Love never fails. And you know, when I think about my daughter Miracle, she's 6 years old. I think about her love, and I think about how uncomplicated it is. She just knows that mommy and daddy love her. She just knows that she's loved by Jesus, and she has a father in heaven that loves her even more than mommy and daddy. And she really helped me because last year, my daughter, she was at her grandma's house, and she sort of went on her grandma's laptop, and she just recorded this thing. And I want to show you how a pure love can look, how a love never fails approach can look. Why don't you take a look to the screen?
Okay, so this is Miracle, and we are on a Facebook or a mobile. Okay, so I am gonna show you about hearts. You see my hearts on my head? They love me, because I am loved by Jesus and you all. You know that hearts are the best things. Do you know what? I think when you grow up, you can be a heart stander. And you make sure that your heart is not sinking. It will be flowing like Jesus is flowing in our hearts.
Okay. Can I just tell you? You make sure that your heart is not sinking. You can be a heart stander when you grow up and realize that love never fails. Don't let your heart sink, beautiful girls. Don't be wounded by the things around you, because love never fails. It never, never, never fails. The second sort of thing I discovered on my journey in this life is not only does love never fail, but forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. He forgives me of all my things. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I just was bad. I know the bad things happened to me, but I wasn't living right. You know, I was stealing, I was lying, I was manipulating my way through life, and it was not good. And so when I understand that God forgives me, I then can forgive people with that same sort of grace and compassion and choosing mercy over judgment. Forgiven people forgive. But you can only forgive when you had a revelation of God's forgiveness for you. Do you know He paid it all for you? Oh, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to this earth to die a gruesome death for you so that you could be forgiven. The blood that was poured out for you was for your sins, was for your transgressions. He has forgiven me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to forgive people. I am on a mission in this life to forgive people, because my God, He's been so gracious and merciful to me, even in my failings. And in Matthew 6:12, it says this, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us." The Lord was teaching His disciples how to pray. And He says, hey, pray this, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us." You know what I did? Just like Paul, I went back into those same streets that wounded me, that abused me, that people hurt me beyond measure. I went back into those same streets and I told people about the love of Jesus, that love never fails, but I also extended a reach out to say, "I forgive you. I forgive you." So I went and I found my real dad. I found him. He was homeless on the street. No, honestly, he was homeless on the street. And I went up to him and I didn't even recognize him. I said, "Dad, it's me, Chantel." He hadn't seen me for years. And I lifted him up off the ground and I said, I just came. I wanted to find you because I want to tell you that I forgive you and I love you so much and you're my dad. Like, nothing will ever change that. And I want you to experience God's forgiveness for you and I've experienced for myself, and I don't hold anything against you. I love you. And he literally jumped up off the ground. He ripped open his shirt. And I was like, whoa, that's extreme. But he ripped open his shirt and he had my name written across his chest. And I just felt like God say, just always remember that. I love you. Forgiveness. You know, forgiveness doesn't make them right, but it sets you free. It truly sets you free. So I went and I saw my mom and my stepdad, because I told my mom about what happened before I left to Australia. My mom, she didn't really believe me, and she ended up sort of, she stayed with my stepdad. And so what am I to do then? How can I forgive even my mom for staying with my stepdad, the one that sexually abused me at such a little small age? And I went to them both and I said, I just want you guys to know, I've had an encounter with God. I feel like my mission in life is to truly live in forgiveness and to love people. And my stepfather just looked at me in like disbelief, because he never thought I would ever talk to him again. And my mom, you know, we never had a really great relationship. And my stepdaddy kneeled down on the floor and we were able to lead him in the sinner's prayer. And now today he is living a life for Jesus. He is living a life of hope and future in Christ. Isn't it amazing what forgiveness does? It actually releases people. You're saying, hey, actually, I release you. And it sets you free. But you know what else happens? The third thing, this is like the neck level, right? You guys all know about that. Neck level. This is the next level that God calls us out to. Because here in 2 Corinthians, it says this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore, listen, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you know what our ministry is here on earth? Yes, it's to love. Love like he loves, because love never fails. And yes, to forgive, because forgiveness sets you free. But you know what our ministry here on earth is? It's to reconcile. It's to bring reconciliation. Because that is exactly what God did for me. He sent Jesus to this earth. He who had no sin became sin on my behalf, so that I could be reconciled to the Father through his Son, Jesus. So that makes you and me Christ's ambassadors. And that through us, we can also bring the message of reconciliation to the world. So you know what happened? As I finish, poured out love, poured out forgiveness, and then reconciled relationships. So with my mom, and with my stepdad, we pretty much chat every week. We FaceTime. I tell him that I love him every time, that God still has a plan, and that one day we'll stand on a platform together and we'll tell the story of the other side of forgiveness and what it can do for people and how it can heal the broken. Because forgiveness is, yes, like it's for me and love is for me, but who wants to love and forgive the predators? Who, you know, these women in prison, who wants to give them a chance? Who am I to disqualify them when I am not disqualified from him? We are Christ's ambassadors. So as I close, I then went and found, I saw my real dad again. We kept texting after, and I said, can I come see you? I want you to meet your grandkids, because he's never met them. He's like, yeah, but you know, he's always drinking. So I'm like, oh, don't try to pick him up because you might fall down. Because he was always drunk. So I never knew him without alcohol. So we turn up in LA and he's standing there and he's sober and he looks so handsome. And my little girl whispered to me, she said, mommy, is that your dad? And I said, yeah, and that's your granddad too. She goes, but why has he never been in your life? And I said, oh, baby, mommy's daddy left her when she was a little girl, but it's okay now because I found him again and we found each other. And I said, and he wants to meet you. So she goes, can I hug him? I said, totally. So miracle, she jumps out the car, and I'm not kidding you, she runs to him, and he comes and he swoops her up in his arms and she lays his head on his shoulder. And I just saw, oh, that is a picture of reconciliation. That is the picture of the love never fails. That is the picture of forgiveness. It is over and over again, 70 times seven. But to be reconciled, that doesn't just happen. It's a journey. It's a process. And You know, I was so excited because I thought, oh man, we get to rekindle this relationship and we get to reconcile, and I can't wait to sort of like laugh with my dad. And so that was last year. This year in January, I was planning to go see my dad again. And I was texting him and saying, I can't wait to see you. The Friday before we left on the Monday, 2 days before, I get a phone call to say, Chantel, we're really sorry to tell you, but your dad has been shot dead. He was shot dead by a drive-by shooting. And he didn't make it. And I just, 2 days. But you know what? The peace of God flooded my room that day, because I thought, God, you gave me the courage to step out of my hurt, to step away from my brokenness, to put all of my own whatever aside. And I was about your ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And my father, when he died, he knew that he was loved. He knew that he was loved by his daughter, but he knew that he was loved by his heavenly father. And I have such a peace, and I know that one day I will see my dad again. I will see him and I will run to him, and I know he'll swoop me up in his arms, because that's what God's heartbeat is all about. That is his heartbeat. He beats for us, for relationship with us. He beats, his heart beats for it. And so I had the opportunity to speak at my dad's funeral, and I was sitting in a room of 100 gangsters, and I was telling them about the love of Jesus. And I was telling them how my dad, he actually wasn't the greatest. He was never in my life, but how God used like our brokenness and brought love back into our lives and brought forgiveness and reconciled our relationship. And you know, so many people were asking about this God that I serve. So many of my family were asking about this. Who is this God, Chantel? We want to know more. And at my dad's funeral, I ended with a simple song, and many of you would know it. And it reminded me of staying with that pure heart and the way I see God and the way I see people. And it's a simple one, and it goes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Come on, Jesus loves you. He loves you. His love will never fail you. He will always forgive you, and he wants to reconcile us back to the Father heart of God. And in Romans 8, it says this. Paul keeps writing, and he says this. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son. Is there anything else he would not gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. And do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. No way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness and bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst of sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this, none of it phases us because Jesus loves us. And I am absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high and low, thinkable or unthinkable, nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Can someone give Jesus a mighty shout of praise? He is worthy of it. He's deserving of it. Come on, lift him up.
Thanks for joining us. If you just made a decision to follow Jesus, we just want to say a big congratulations. This is the beginning of an amazing relationship. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and send it to a friend that you know will be blessed. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday services happening across South Africa. Find out where and when on hillsong.co.za. We can't wait to meet you.